As you do so, just within this global context, that we're getting to hear stories from around the world, from people who have been friends of Heights for a long time, that so much so that the dream that it would feel like family is there. This next gentleman, I was asking him, and he's like, I was like, I think you've been here, like connected to Heights as a partner longer than I've even been on staff. And he goes, yeah, it's about 20 years now, which is just beautiful, right? That's just a beautiful thing. And then just to get you ready, okay? Just so you're ready. He is also known, the legend I heard of him as, is he is the Billy Graham of Cambodia. Yeah, that's pretty good. Would you please welcome Steve Hyde? It doesn't get much better than that. I mean, that bar is pretty high now. You know what I'm saying?
Hello, hello, everyone. How you doing? Ready for lunch? All right. You know, I just want to thank the worship team. They are fantastic. They're back there listening, I hope, or crashing, whatever. They've been doing us all morning long. And I thank them, sound crew, media team, everyone. If you don't come to church, you can see it because of them. And if you bring kids here, there's people out there. I bet there's hundreds of people that are making this happen today. So just thank you to everybody, you know, for making that happen. So, yeah, my name is Steve Hyde. I'm a missionary in Cambodia. I've been there for 32 years. That's kind of hard to imagine. Yeah. I've been in Cambodia so long that they made me a citizen of Cambodia. So I actually have a Cambodian passport. I have a Cambodian ID card. I draw Social Security, which is almost zero in Cambodia. They give you a little bit of rice every month, and so that's Social Security. So whatever you were complaining about, it's way better. Yeah. but God's been good. God called me 32 years ago to go to Cambodia. I want to tell you about my wife. So I met my wife there in Cambodia. We've been married 26 years. We've got four kids. Yeah, we got four kids. My wife's name is Noit. She didn't come with me. She's Cambodian. She didn't come with me on this trip because for her to travel for 2 days to get here and then be here for 4 days and then travel 2 days back, she's like, you can do that, Steve. And but anyways, I'm happy to be here. I love it. Cambodia is always hot. So it's always like 100 degrees and about 100% humidity. And so being here, it's very, very dry for me, but I haven't sweat yet. This is amazing. Yeah, I bet I could walk around the neighborhood for hours and not sweat also. I love your temperature and your climate, although it is very cold, but I know that in four more days, I'll be gone and I'll be sweating again. So looking forward to that. When I first went to Cambodia, there were almost no Christians in the whole country. Most people that I talked to about Jesus had no idea what I was talking about. It was 0.01% Christian. There were so few Christians. There were only eight churches, little underground hidden churches, eight in the entire country of Cambodia. And most of the people that were Christians in those churches weren't even Cambodian. They were just like Vietnamese or immigrants that had come there or missionaries or that kind of stuff. They weren't even Cambodian. But God had it in his way that he decided he was going to change the nation of Cambodia. For those of you that heard the name of Cambodia, it's not Colombia, just to clarify. Some people are like, you know, come up to me and like speak Spanish. And they're like, hola, you know, welcome to America. It's not the country I'm in. I'm in Cambodia, which is in Asia. Borders Vietnam and Thailand. And so that's where I am. They speak a language called Khmer, and their language is very, very different from Spanish, so Spanish doesn't work with me, and nor anyone in Cambodia. But God called me 32 years ago. I had graduated from college, and I had started to go to Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was a good Southern Baptist kid, and I felt like God was calling me into missions kind of somehow or whatever. So I was in Southwestern Baptist Seminary, And there was about 4,000 students there at the time studying master's and doctorate degrees to become pastors and that kind of stuff. And I was in a chapel service, and there was about 20 people in the entire service because it wasn't required. So nobody showed up. Out of 4,000 students, only about 20 of us showed up. And so I went, and there at this chapel service, I'm not insulting the school, by the way. I was just saying it as a matter of fact. So in case that came out as an insult, sorry about that. In that chapel service, I literally heard God speak to me. And all God said was, go to Cambodia. And then, like, the service was over. But to me, it was audible. Like, I could hear it. And I knew it was God. This is very unusual for Southern Baptists, to hear audible voice of God. You know, if you're from another kind of tradition, it's not so unusual. For Southern Baptists, it's quite unusual, especially in a Southern Baptist seminary. It's quite unusual to hear. So we always say in the Baptist circles, we're like, well, we got to confirm it with the word. And so I was like, well, okay. So I felt like that was God. Like there's no way to describe that. I like knew in my soul that was God that was speaking to me. But I was like, well, I better confirm it in the word. So I went back to my dorm room. And I was like, I'm going to open up my Bible, and I'm just going to, you know, crack it open and look down and read it. And then whether what I read is going to be whether I go to Cambodia or not. And so I was like, well, if I go New Testament, I'm pretty much going to hit the Apostle Paul. You know, I'm going to hit the Apostle Paul. And so that's going to be go to Cambodia. If I go Old Testament, there's not, you know, it's going to be some battle or something like that. It's not going to be to go to Cambodia kind of thing. And so I was like, you know, what do I do? Do I go Old Testament? Do I know New Testament? That kind of stuff. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, come on, dude. What are you doing? You know, just to paraphrase the Holy Spirit. You know, he's like, if you don't trust me, go to the Old Testament. And so I was like, okay. So I cracked it open to the Old Testament and popped the Bible open. And it all opened to Jeremiah chapter 1, and I looked down and I read this in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Who knew it? There's missions in the Old Testament. Oh, my goodness. And I kept reading, alas, sovereign Lord. I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. I'm just a seminary. I'm not even graduated from seminary. How can you use me, Lord? But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I tell you to. You must and say whatever I tell you to say. I lost my place, but I've read the verse so many times, so then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. And I was just like, I knew that God had called me to Cambodia. And so then I went, I was like, well, I know God's called me. So I was like, this is unbelievable. I got to leave right now. I know how this works out for people in the Bible. I read the Bible and I know if you say no to God, a bad thing's about to happen. And so I said, I got to leave right now. So I left my dorm room. So I went from my chapel service to my dorm room. God used his word again to speak to me. The audible wasn't good enough. I'm sure Moses was a Baptist, you know. You know, God talked to Moses, and he's like, I want you to follow me. And he's like, well, can you confirm that? And God's like, whatever, dude, burning bush, you know. And it's like, okay, and then we're going to do all these miracles. He got to have been a Baptist, you know. Hard-headed, stubborn. Yeah. Sorry for you Baptists out there. Not trying to insult you, just having fun with you two. So then I went to a travel agent. This is before, like, internet and all these websites where you can just, like, book a ticket. I can book a ticket while I'm driving. I know that's illegal in Arizona, but in Cambodia, it's not illegal. So I do all kinds of stuff, driving and that kind of stuff. We don't have Frank down there in Cambodia. Fridays with Frank, he gives everybody a ticket. I would never want to meet him. Everybody gets, or two or three tickets. So, and if you don't know who I'm talking about, look at Facebook every once in a while. So I went down to a travel agent and booked a ticket. I didn't even know what the capital of Cambodia was. But we figured it out. You know, there was no internet or whatever. But we figured it out. And it was Phnom Penh, Cambodia. And so we booked a ticket. And you book a ticket and then you'd pay for it later. So I booked a ticket. And a one-way ticket was going to be $1,088. I was a seminary student. I didn't have I didn't have $88, much less $1,088. So I went back to my dorm room, and I was gonna like pray and ask God, like, what do I do next? Because I feel like I should go. Like in the middle of the semester, before I finished, I just feel like I need to go. And I knew this was God. And so I went, and we have a little post office down below and little boxes and that kind of stuff. Open up my post office box. There's a letter. I'm from Iowa. So I'm from a town that even Iowans have never heard of. Any Iowans here today? So I'm from Barnum, Iowa. So you probably never heard of Barnum. It's about 20 miles outside of Fort Dodge, Iowa. And so 96 people, I was number 96. And if you look at the census, it's now down to about 91 people. So it hasn't changed much in the last 54 years. And I don't know where I was going. Barnum, Iowa kind of messed me up. Oh, yeah. So there was a letter from a church secretary from a Baptist church in Iowa. It doesn't get any crazier than that. And a secretary from a Baptist church in Iowa never wrote me before, never wrote me after. She's in heaven now enjoying what God used her. And I've told this story again and again. I opened up the letter and there was just a short note there. And she said, God spoke to me, a Baptist secretary in a church in Iowa. God spoke to me and told me to give you my 1 month's salary. And it was a check for $1,088. Having read the book of Jonah, I left immediately that week. So, oh, God is good. God is good. All my professors said, nobody encouraged me to go. They all said, finish your degree. There's always going to be lost people out there. Get your master's degree first. Get a PhD, you know, then you'll be able to contemplate people better. I don't know. Keep going. Keep going. And don't leave school because your calling's still going to be there. But I just knew it. The way that God had spoken to me in that 12-hour period, I knew that I needed to go and go immediately. So I did. When I got to Cambodia, I didn't know where I was going to stay, didn't know who I was going to meet with, didn't know who I was going to connect with. I ended up sleeping on the balcony of an orphanage in Phnom Penh for several months so I could learn the language and get to know people and make connections and that kind of stuff, and even house-sitted for Baptist missionaries that were there. That was nice. So I was still being kind of provided for by the Baptist church. But when God got me to Cambodia, it was a difficult place. When I landed on the plane into Cambodia, the airport was kind of like a steel building. And when we landed on the plane, we're kind of bouncing on the runway. It's like, and again, I'm looking out the window. And it's full of like bomb scars all over the runway. Because during the wars, they had you know, artillery and that kind of stuff had hit it. And it's a very distinct, anyways, if you've ever been in war, you know what it looks like. You know, it's all the shrapnel and everything rips the concrete apart and that kind of stuff. But there were so many bomb scars and that kind of stuff. We're bouncing down there. We get off and there's military police. There's military police that are the kind of the security at the airport. And we go in this steel building and people are trying to get to me and like, oh, take my taxi. Let me take your bags and all this kind of stuff. It's chaotic. And the military police had these shock batons. They were these batons with like electric shocks on, like kind of like a cattle prod kind of thing. And they're shocking people. And like, it's like, and people are like, you know, like, get back. And they're literally shocking them. And I was like, God, really? Here? You know, all the roads were dirt roads, potholes everywhere, you know. You needed to be four-wheel drive in the capital city. It was horrible. There was electricity only a few hours a day, no stoplights, no, you know, there would be traffic police that would sit at the intersection. This is traffic police, okay? So those are the guys with like a whistle and that kind of stuff with a rocket launcher next to them. Traffic police with rocket launchers and AK-47 strapped to them. And it's just like, Lord, really? Really? You know, couldn't we have done the PhD or something, you know, and then things clear up? But God had a plan. God had a plan. So I want to give you some examples from the Bible because I've read it and I think you should too. But today I want to talk about living by faith and what that's about. And a friend of mine talked about living by faith is kind of like having a chicken line in front of you. And you need to decide whether you're going to cross that chicken line or not. And when you live by faith, you cross that chicken line, you know. And so I want to tell you about Abraham. You know about the story of Abraham. Abraham did incredible things. He's talked about the father of faith and that kind of stuff. And so you know all the stories. I'm not going to go through those stories because my timer's going down quickly. But one of the stories really impacted me. You remember Abraham was promised to be the father of a multitude, you know, the father of his descendants would number greater than the stars in the sky and the sand in the seas, you know. And it's incredible. And he had no children. And then God gave him one son. God gave him one son. He tried to do his own way for a while, got Ishmael, and then he got his son Isaac. And he got his son Isaac, and then in Genesis chapter 22, God said this in verse 1 to 3. Sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, and he replied, here I am. Then God said, take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you. What, God? What? How am I going to be the multitude of a great nation? Abraham is confronted with a chicken line. Is he going to do it? Is he going to put his faith in God? Is he going to trust God? Or is he going to say, me and Isaac, we're going fishing. You know, he had a choice to make. But Abraham, in verse 3, is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually. In verse 3, early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place where God had told him about. Early the next morning, he left. And we know the end of the story. Abraham didn't know the end of the story. He had to make a decision. Was he going to cross that chicken line and live by faith? Or was he going to stay back and say, that's too awkward. I'm not going to kill my own son. I'm not going to do that. He didn't have the next chapter. We have the next chapter. We know the end of the story. He didn't. Do you know the end of your story? I don't think so. But God does. So he's an example to us of somebody who lived by faith. Joshua is another great example. You know, he was selected to be of 12 spies to go through the land of Canaan to spy it out. You remember 10 of the spies said, oh, these people are going to kill us here. You know, and Joshua, what did he say? Joshua said, God said we can take it, so we can take it. He said, I'm taking it. You know, he stepped across the chicken line. He's like, we're going to do it. And it says about Joshua, so we know the end of the story. He did take it. And God used him to lead the people of Israel. And it says when he was 80, so in the end of the book of Joshua, when he was 85 years old, he was as strong and as vibrant as when he was young, when God called him as a spy. He could still battle like all the young people because he was still doing what God wanted him to do. He lived by faith his whole life. He lived by faith his whole life. Gideon is another great example. Gideon wasn't even a soldier, and God said, I want you to take the army and go defeat the Midianites. And Gideon's, you know, remember the testing thing, throw the fleece out, that kind of stuff. He's like, I don't know. He must have been Baptist too. Yeah. But prove it this way, God. Or how about this way? Oh, God has a lot of patience with us. So eventually he had 10,000 soldiers, and they're going against the Midianites, which are over 100,000 soldiers. They were going to lose. But God kept saying, okay, whoever's afraid, so God gave him a chicken line. Who's ever afraid, go home. So what did they do? Most of them went home. And so then they're left with a few thousand. And then God told him, whoever drinks like a dog, you take them. So then he's down to 300 people. 300 people. And what did God do with those 300 people? They're like, chicken line, whatever. We're going with God. Wherever God tells us to go, we're going to go. They crossed every chicken line there was. And God used 300 people to defeat the entire Midianite army. Wow. Mary, to me, is a great example also. The angel Gabriel came to talk to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. All right, teenage girl, pregnant. Has that ever happened before? Oh, no, it wasn't my fault. Oh, yeah, what are the neighbors going to say? Yeah, they're going to say, yeah, whoops, oh, awkward. Yeah, why don't you quickly get married and, you know, wear a loose dress, you know, right? If Mary was around here today, what would be her options? I bet all her friends would say, get an abortion. Hide it. Get an abortion. Nobody will know. I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, they had abortions too. They've had abortions since the beginning of time. There is a carving on the... So in Cambodia, there's an ancient temple there about 1,000 years old. And there's a carving on the back wall of the temple, which is a depiction of an abortion being done by demons. It was carved 900 years ago. It was carved 900 years ago in Cambodia. Is it any wonder that death reigns over the nation of Cambodia? Is there any wonder that there's been genocide and millions of people have killed in Cambodia? They follow Satan, who not purposely follow Satan, but Satan wants to destroy everyone. He wants to destroy God's creation, and abortion is one of those ways. Mary had a choice. She kept her baby. She stepped across the chicken line, and she kept her baby. She probably endured shame and insults, and she's the mother of Jesus. The mother of Jesus. She carried the Savior of the entire world with her. The Bible says that Mary is highly favored among God. The only one that the Bible says that, and Mary's highly favored. Because she stepped across that chicken line. And then you got people like Jonah. If you've ever read the book of Jonah, you probably get to the end of the book of Jonah, and it's like, what on earth is that there for? It ends badly. Like, God calls Jonah to go save the people, the Assyrian nation, you know. And what does Jonah do? He's like, well, I hate those people. I'm going fishing. And then God used him as bait. And so then in the stomach of the whale, he repented, fortunately. If he didn't repent, he'd just become fish food, I guess, you know. But he repented in the stomach of the whale, and then the whale or the big fish, whatever it is, spit him out, and then he goes to Nineveh, and he shares with them the gospel. The people repent, and then God doesn't destroy the city, and then it ends with Jonah sitting on the edge of the city. It's like, well, that's no fun. God didn't destroy the city. And that's how the book of Jonah ends. I think the point of Jonah is he had a chicken line, and he's like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. He went fishing. But he repented, and then God said, I'll give you another chance. And he repented, and he crossed back over, and God used him. But he still didn't learn his lesson. When God called me to Cambodia, for 2 years I shared the gospel and nobody came to faith in Christ. Nobody. Nowadays, I see people come to faith in Christ almost every single day. But for the first 2 years, yeah, thank God, thank God. The first 2 years, nobody came to faith in Christ. They didn't know what I was talking about when I was talking about Jesus. Nobody knew what I was talking about. But then one day I said, you know, I think we've been doing this all wrong. I've been doing it the Baptist way, where you study the demographics, you look for the right people, you have a certain plan that you go through and you share with them, and it just didn't work. Not that it was bad, it just didn't work. And so we said, why don't we ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want us to do? Who do you want us to talk to? Because it's the Holy Spirit that points people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that brings salvation to people. It's not us. We're just his hands and his feet. That's it. I'm nobody special. I can't even play guitar or keyboards. Yeah. Even though I had 8 years of piano lessons. Yeah. My mom is still disappointed. Yeah. But we prayed and we prayed and we worshiped for 3 days. And after 3 days, so 3 days, we just sat there and we're like, I don't feel anything. I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen anything. I don't know what to do. And then finally, one of my friends who was with me, there were three of us there, he said, I feel like God's telling us to go to this village called Ras Isra. And we go to this village, Ras Isra, and there you're going to meet a girl. And the Holy Spirit's working in her heart. And so we went to this little village, and we're walking on these planks. There's raw sewage everywhere. It's just a slum village. And we see down these planks, we see this little girl sitting in front of a house, just like my friend said. He saw a vision of a little girl sitting in front of this house. So we went and we talked to her and we sat and she offered me her chair. She'd never seen a foreigner, huge foreigner like me, come into her village. Most Cambodians are about this tall and this small, and I'm not that way. And I went and sat in her chair, her only asset of her whole house, which looks like it's made of garbage. And what happened to the chair? It broke. How is she going to come to faith in Jesus Christ? I just broke her only chair. But we shared with her about Jesus, and you know what? The Holy Spirit was already working. She came to faith in Jesus Christ. Her name is Mom. And then her mom came to faith in Jesus Christ. And today, she's the head of Operation Mobilization for Cambodia. Yeah. She has led thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people to faith in Jesus Christ. Because we listened and we were obedient, we crossed the chicken line to go into this little slum village and we shared with them about Jesus. And he's done that day after day after day after day. I went into an area that was controlled by the Khmer Rouge, who committed genocide, killed millions of people. And I met a female commander. And the same thing. The Lord was working on her heart, so I shared with her about Jesus, and she came to faith in Christ. And then God said, well, help educate her children. Her entire family, nobody ever went to school. Nobody ever got educated. She was educated. She could tear apart an AK-47 blindfolded and then shoot you with it before you could count to 10 backwards. And that's all her education was. And God told us, I want you to educate kids like her and give them a chance and give them a future. I've raised over 300 kids like that. I've said 86 have gone into university and graduated from college. Their families had never even been to elementary school before. And now they have a completely different life. They have a completely different career path and everything. God has blessed them. God called me to help mothers that want to abort their babies. Abortion is completely legal in Cambodia. It's a communist country. The more you abort, it seems like the more happy they are. They have over 4,000 abortion centers in the tiny nation of Cambodia, which is actually smaller than the state of Arizona. So we have more than 4,000 abortion centers. And women are having abortions constantly. And so I said, well, let's go and share Christ. Let's go and share Christ and share the love of Jesus with these mothers. And in the last 10 years, we've had over 3,000 babies saved from abortion. It's been incredible. Thousands of mothers have come to faith in Christ. And with all these babies being born, we have whole communities now that didn't exist before. And it's been incredible what God has done. We're doing a nutrition program now. We're doing livelihood training with them, giving them jobs and careers and that kind of stuff. God is good. We started 63 churches just from our crisis pregnancy center. 63 churches out of that. God is doing incredible things. every day, there's chicken lines in front of me. And I think you've got those kind of things in your mind. You know what your chicken line is. You know what it is. Your chicken line is not my chicken line. Don't sit there and think, oh, I want to do like Steve. I wouldn't do that. Yeah. You don't want the difficulties. I was on the front lines of a battle zone a week ago with Thai army and tanks, F-16s flying around. And I was on the front lines with Cambodian forces here, Thai forces here, and I'm right here. Because God said, I want you to go there and I want you to help the civilians. And I had zero fear because I've walked with Jesus so much that when Jesus says, go to the front lines of a battle zone, that's the ground is full of landmines also. I know when I walked there, I was completely safe in Jesus Christ because I was exactly where he wanted me to be. I'm not bragging about myself. I want you to know that to live by faith, I've learned from the Bible what they learned, that you've got to cross that chicken line. So some of you here today, I want to challenge you on two things. Number one is some of you can't live by faith because you haven't even fully given your life to Jesus. We have a word in Cambodia that we say for giving your life to Jesus. It means Thuai Kluen. And Thuai Kluen means to give your entire life and body over to Jesus. And I think some of us, when we say we want to believe in Jesus, we're like, okay, Jesus, I'll give you my mind. I'll give you my heart, but not my hands, not my feet, not my career, not my education, not my boat. Don't touch my boat. Okay, Jonah. You should name your boat Jonah, just to remind you. Yeah. Remind you of people on boats, what happens. Yeah. I love fishing, by the way. So, but some of you need to make a decision that today I'm gonna walk with Jesus from today. I'm fully gonna give my life to faith in Jesus Christ from today on. And then others of you said, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but I don't want to cross that chicken line. What will people say? And your chicken line may not be going to a war zone in Cambodia or Ukraine or wherever, Gaza, but your chicken line might be talking to your neighbor that's lived next to you for 12 years and you haven't ever said a word to him. Your chicken line might be talking to a cashier that there's something in your heart that jumps when you see that person, but you know, it's like, wow, it's kind of weird to say something to him, so he's just not gonna do it. That's your chicken, that could be your chicken line. It could be helping a mother who's full of anxiety, she's pregnant, she doesn't want to do, and you're just gonna come around and love her. And hey, how can I help you? Whatever your chicken line is, you'll know. Just listen. Just listen. And whatever God tells you to do, do that. Your faith will grow. Let me just end with a word of prayer for you now. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will be with everyone here, that you'll speak to them. Speak to them in an incredible way in their heart. Let them know it's you. Show them that chicken line in front of them. And Lord, give them the courage to step across it and say, okay, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm with you. Let's do this. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to experience incredible things, to see thousands of people come to faith in you, to see broken lives mended, to see people that the world had no hope in or interest in, when you got a hold of their life, oh, you just did incredible things. Lord, help me to cross my chicken line today and tomorrow, that I grow in faith and I lead others to do the same. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior and my master and my leader in what I do. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amazing, right? And yet, I don't want you to miss something. The way we started by this being about you and God. We started that this is, you're here because you need to hear from God. And while we've got to enjoy hearing stories from Jamel and Steve about them hearing from God and them stepping out by faith, I just want to encourage you that we're going to slow down and have a moment as a family. And that moment looks like you having a conversation with God and going, God, what is my chicken line today? And then collectively, together as a family, we're going to have a moment, because sometimes these moments get caught up in the personal, right? Like you sit and you have a really in-depth conversation with God and then you feel really moved, but you don't really act on it. And then you get up and leave and you get into the parking lot or out on the road and something happens. And then you completely lose what you were thinking about because now you're worked up about that. And then you're on into football and whatever else, right? But today we're going to slow down and go, God, what's my chicken line? Where are you calling me to live by faith? And then we're going to have a declaration of faith, a declaration of faith in action. That as you go, God, you are calling me to that. And today I choose to say yes. I'm going to step across that chicken line, whatever it happens to be. Now I want to be really clear. There's some of you in the room that your yes is you have not said yes to Jesus yet as your Savior. And so your chicken line is today, for the first time, I am declaring, Jesus, I need you to save me, and I'm going to cross that chicken line. But there's a lot of you, because I know some of you, I see you, I hear about you, what you're doing, how you walk with God. Some of you just need a fresh call to faith today. Some of you need a fresh call to your families and the things that Steve mentioned. And for some of you, it's a fresh hearing from the Lord to go, God is calling me forward. And can I help you? It doesn't have to be going to Cambodia. It could just be to be faithful to what he told you in this moment about today. But the declaration is that we're going to stand and we're going to gather at the front. The people that go, today I am crossing that line and I am visibly in a community of faith going to say, I am crossing that line. It's just a visible representation of crossing the line. It's a step of faith. Why? Because it matters that much that your faith is in action. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a minute for you to just talk to God and go, God, what is my step of faith today? And then after that, we're going to have a moment where you're invited to go, I will say yes today to what God is asking me. And I will walk with others to go, we're going to stand together as a declaration of what God's doing. So the next moments are yours to ask God, what are you calling me to do? Thank you. the step of taking our faith from private to going, today I stand by faith and I will put my faith in action. If that's you today going, I am stepping in, I am saying, yes, I see the chicken line and I am crossing it by faith. Now I'm gonna count to three and then we're just gonna move to the front and we're just gonna gather with each other and encourage each other. And so one, don't be a chicken. Two, it's by faith that you say yes to what God is calling you. Three, if you are here and you go, I am stepping forward by faith into what God is calling me, come on down. Right where you are, get up and come on down. Don't let the enemy keep you in your seat. Come on down. We're gonna pack the front. Come on down. Don't stop clapping. They're still coming. Don't stop clapping. God is working. I would ask this, that if you're a leader in the room, you come on down and put a hand on somebody. If you're a pastor or you're one of our life group leaders, come down, put a hand on somebody and just pray for them. You guys, this right here, I just need you to know from the inside, the enemy has not wanted this weekend, okay? So your step of faith, don't let the enemy try and slow it down. The enemy has been active. I could give you eight things that the enemy has not wanted you to be here and go, by faith, I will stand. Keep coming down. We can pack this. Come down. Because we're going to worship together. The courage to say yes. The courage to go, I will walk by faith. It's amazing. It's amazing. Don't let the enemy take this moment. This moment is your plant. You plant your flag. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing gathered like this because it's uncomfortable and it's awesome, right? But by faith, we're just going to go, God, I am available. And then we'll pray. And then whatever God does, he does. Okay? So let me pray over you, and then we're going to worship together. God, I thank you for the faith of the people that you have stirred that are willing to cross that line of faith, of the chicken line today by faith to go, God, what you've called us to do, we will do. And so, God, in one voice is a family declarative. We lift to you that we are available. God, would you use us for your kingdom mission, we pray. We ask. Hear our voices as we sing.